Luke chapter 15, if you will, with me.
Luke chapter 15. As you're turning there, we want to again honor all dads here and thankful for your role that you have as a dad. I know me personally, I am very thankful to be in a father. And I remember when my firstborn was born, the reality stuck and I'm like, whoa, this is a real thing. I need to be a dad now. And it was a very lovely time to know that and learn that. But it is also Father's Day, and I'm a dad, and I like jokes. Yes, thank you. So before we get into the message this morning, last month for Mother's Day, we did mom jokes. There's dad jokes. So we're going to do a few of those, and then we'll get into the message this morning. So a couple of dad's jokes here. I don't know, I kind of feel like the mom ones were a little better, I don't know, but we'll try these anyway. So, Dad Day jokes, who was the world's first comedian? It was Samson because he brought the house down. Because of the whole pushing the pillars and everything came down. And so another one says, need a boat? I know a guy. Noah in the ark. So what type of car would Jesus drive? And that would be a Chrysler. So, who was the smartest person in the Bible? That would have been Abraham, because he knew a lot. And then here's another good one here. Of course I believe in free will. What choice do I have? What kind of doctor is Dr. Pepper? A physician. I like Dr. Pepper, so someone kindly gave that one to me, and I like it a lot. Although, I don't know about the fizz. I think I'm feeling it already. How many of each animal did Moses bring onto the ark? None. Moses was never even on the ark. Come on. Didn't you know of that? I like that one. That was actually a fun one there. So here's a spelling. C-H-C-H. What's missing? U-R. So, church, C-H-U-R-C-H. So, yeah, that one I thought wasn't, yeah, that was okay. What did Jonah's family say when he told them about what happened before reaching Nineveh? Sounds fishy. Swallowed by the whale and everything like that. Three more and then we'll get into the message this morning. How did Joseph make his coffee? He brewed it. For those of you who like coffee, you know that. And for me, I don't drink coffee. Dr. Pepper's my coffee. What's Peter's favorite card game? Go fish. Because he was a fisherman. And then the last one here. What kind of car did the disciples drive? A Honda, because they were all in one accord. Luke chapter 15, if you will, with me. Oh, we do? Oh. I wonder where that came from. I recognize that guy and that photo. Brother Tom. He was saying, don't burn the church down. I succeeded in not doing that. But, yes. Luke chapter 15. Being a father is an honor. It's a high honor. God shows that it is a high honor and also treats it as something that we should not take for granted. It requires leadership in the marriage and in the home. God has some commands he gives the fathers in the Bible, like not provoking your children to wrath. There are examples of a good father in the Bible, like David and Joseph, and there are some examples we can learn not to be like Eli or Jacob with his favoritism of Joseph and Lot. So there's some good examples and bad examples in the Bible that we can learn from about people who maybe didn't do it exactly maybe the way that we probably would see it. Being a first-time father, this experience, well now this would be a second time because I wrote this message back when I was a dad the first time, But being a father, the experience has come with some of the greatest blessings and some challenges I have not faced before. But I have dreamed of the moment for quite some time, and I enjoy being a dad. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I love being a father, and it's a great thing. Before coming here, I would work in a summer day camp, and for some reason, the kids there would start calling me their dad. And unfortunately, they said that one of the kids went to school and said that, and the mom came to me later on. It's like, you know, she's basically trying to say she has two daddies. I'm like, no, they just call me that for some reason. Of course, she had her real father she knew, but I was like the camp daddy or whatever it was. Anyway, that was that. But I mean, it's a good experience because you know that you're influencing children. So today we're going to see a model for how a father should be in the instance of two different kind of children and how he handles the situation. So as we open up the Bible, we're opening up the Word of God here. So let's take a look in verse 11 and verse 12 of Luke chapter 15. The Bible gives us these words here. And he said, a certain man had two sons. This is Jesus speaking. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me. And he divided unto them his living. The Father should be compassionate to all, especially as God the Father is loving and compassionate toward us. Father, we're thankful for the day you've given to us. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here together. We're thankful for all the dads who are here present again, for those who are viewing on our stream and those who will later on, and for those who had to fill in the role of a dad as being a mom and having to cover for that, for those who never knew their dad or if their dad passed away early in life. And we just pray for those and thankful for those who stepped into those roles. Father, I pray that you just help us today as we look into your word, that you'd help me as I preach, help it to be clear, help it to be easily understood, and help it to only be what you have for us to hear this morning. And we ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen. I will tell you this, I'm going to get really personal with this. Father's Day for me, and I think I mentioned it Wednesday night, but Father's Day for me was always a mixed bag. And it was mostly because of the fact that I grew up not knowing who my dad was. And for a while, I struggled with that personally because I'd see everybody else saying Happy Father's Day to their dads and all that. And I look around, I'm like, where's mine? But I ended up calling my mom. And I'll have to do that later on this afternoon. I know she's probably watching now, but I'll probably wish her a Happy Father's Day later on today. Why? Because she had to fill both roles. She filled the mother and the father. No fault of her own, but it just happened to be the situation that happened there. So Father's Day was always a mixed bag for me, mostly sad until a few years ago when I became a father for the first time. And then it was just this mixed feeling. And I was thankful enough to marry a very lovely young lady and finally have a dad in my life for the first time and find that we both have a lot of things in common too. The same way we grew up in some ways too, because he didn't know his father. So I already had a commonality with that. So before we get into the passage here this morning, I think today in our generation, I think the traditional home isn't valued as it used to be. We have an increasing a number of homes that are either motherless, the mother isn't present or not there, or the father isn't present or there. The issues vary for each relationship, whether it be divorce, separation, death, or whatever the situation comes, or the unfortunate things that happen that cause children, that would allow for children to be conceived. I'm not going to mention those this morning, but you would know what they are. But it's different for each person, and it affects them. I think it affects the children. I think they're affected more than just the parents. And again, this is a personal opinion. You don't have to agree with me. But I think when there's conflict with the parents in the home, I think the kids suffer the most for that. This is not a big of an issue in a sense, but I think having a father not present does quite a bit. And again, there are reasons for the things that happen. But fatherlessness in America is growing. One out of every four kids don't have a father in the home. Whether it be, again, due to separation, divorce, something happens and he's passed away or something like that. But the statistics is honestly quite shocking. Again, these are not things that are going to happen, but these are things that are trends with that. For children who don't have a father present in their home, they're 4 times likely of having poverty. They're more likely to have behavioral problems, more likely to go to prison, more likely to commit crimes, 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to face alcohol and drug abuse and neglect, and abuse drugs and alcohol, 2 times more likely to suffer obesity, 2 times more likely to drop out of high school, 24 million children are without their father in the home. And there are initiatives going on. I have some paperwork and all that. If you want to see a little bit of that later on, there's a National Fatherhood Initiative just basically stating, hey, fathers, you need to be present in the home with your children. And being involved is good. They're happier. They have better mental, physical health. They live longer. Again, this isn't everybody. This isn't a true and tried study, but these are trends that happen because of that. And things that seem to occur when both are together. And so the reason why we're emphasizing this is God has placed the father, the man, to be the leader of the house. Genesis 3:16 says this, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee, he shall lead you. 1 Corinthians 11:13, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. I mean, if you think about it even more so, dads are more accountable to the Lord for what happens within the home. Moms are accountable too to what happens, but the father is more accountable. And even as a pastor, I'm accountable for the things that I say and do and preach here and teach here. It's vital. It's one of the qualifications to be a pastor is to be able to lead the home well. You can't lead a home well. How are you going to lead a church? So it's vital that a pastor can lead his home. Otherwise, he can't lead a church. So the Bible does have men to lead. And so today we're going to see the leadership of this father in relation to 2 different children that he has. Now, this is a parable. This is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So this particular event probably wasn't true in a sense, but it teaches us something about the parent-child relationship. So let's take a look at the compassionate father here toward his prodigal son. Verse 11 again. He said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. And he divided unto them his living. So he had 2 sons, but one of them wanted the inheritance now. He couldn't wait till his father had passed away. He just wanted the money now. And you know, the interesting thing, when you see that verse in verse 12, he doesn't question him. He allows him to make this choice. We had our men's cookout yesterday, and a little newsflash, Mark White's really good at cornhole. I found that out yesterday, very well so. Destroyed me after I had a good lead on him. But we were talking with the men, and we said things about what was it like to be a father, or how was being a father changed you, or what have you learned being a father? And one of the fathers said, well, sometimes you just guide them. You guide them. Or you could teach them, but you can guide them, and they're going to ultimately going to make choices that they're going to make. You can guide them, but then they have to choose which way to go. And so that's this father here. He's letting his younger son, instead of saying, no, wait till I'm dead, essentially, to say, okay, go ahead. And he willingly allowed him to take his portion of the inheritance. He didn't question him. And so let's take a look at this son's choices. Verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Oh man, he had the money. I don't know how much he had. Maybe he had $1 million. Let's just say that. But once someone gets a ton of money at one shot, I mean, hey, I got everything. I can do whatever I want. Let's just go, 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 go. And that's what he did. But notice he says it wasted. He probably had friends. And these friends were like, yeah, you have money. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. But then, verse 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Those friends he thought he had, he didn't have anymore. They weren't there when he really needed them. He thought he could gain friends from his wealth, but in reality, he was all alone. He had made his choice. His father let him take the inheritance, allowed him to do whatever he wanted to do, and he did. But now he felt inferior. And so much so, verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. This was a Jewish person. This would have been the ultimate slap in the mouth, because the pig was considered an unclean animal. They were not supposed to even touch it. That's why a lot of Jewish people don't eat bacon, because it comes from the pig. If they eat meat, it's from the cow. Why? Because it was considered an unclean animal. And that's back in Leviticus if you want to go look at that later on. But now he's having to work with pigs, something he was not allowed to do in the law. But in order to get something to eat and to survive, he had to do the lowest thing possible, or anything possible, just to get on his feet again. And so, verse 16, this is how desperate he was. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Can you imagine eating pig slop? You're that desperate to where you have to eat what they eat. Have you ever seen pig slop? I'm sure some of you have. Is it enjoyable? No, it really is not. I mean, my youngest daughter loves to pick up everything from the floor and eat it. Doesn't matter if it's chips or chicken nuggets. She sees it, it goes in her mouth, and it's gone. I mean, and that's a faux pas, eating food off the ground. But having to eat this, I mean, that's just too much. That's just, I would never probably go for that. But he longed for it. And and this phrase sticks out. No man gave unto him. No one was willing to help him out in his time of need. And that was sad. And so now he starts to get his senses, verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He thinks back to his home life. Hey, my father's servants, they have food. They have enough to eat. I'm having to eat pig slop. I'm not having to find out where my next meal is going to be at. And notice what he thinks. And this is pretty sad, in a sense. Verse 18 and verse 19. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. So he's going to repent. He's going to apologize to the Father. And that's a good thing for us as Christians to do. When we have transgressed God's law, we need to repent and apologize. This is 1 John 1:9 before 1 John 1:9 was written years later. When we sin, we need to confess it. Verse 19, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He felt that he had disgraced the name of his family so much that he was going to go back. He was going to ask for forgiveness, but then he was only going to ask to be a servant. He felt that he had disgraced the family name. And because of that, he figured, well, I'm going to go back. I'm going to apologize to dad. Tell him everything I did. And I can't be a son anymore because I've ruined that. So as this goes on, verse 20, and I'm sure his father was praying for him every single day. I'm sure he was. Because in verse 20, when he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had, what's the next word there? Compassion. Did he yell him out? No. Did he say, well, I told you so? No. He said, it says he had compassion. He cared for him. He felt sympathy. He had pity for him. And notice his reaction here. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Why was he thrilled? His son had come home. He didn't care that his son had done the worst thing possible. How do we know that? Well, let's continue on. Verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. He did exactly what he thought he was going to do. And he said, nope, I can't be your son anymore. I need to be your servant. Notice how the dad completely doesn't hear this. 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. What do you think that dad was thrilled about? His son came home. He did not care that he had wasted all the money. He didn't care that his son had made bad choice after bad choice after bad choice after bad choice after bad choice. He was just thrilled that he had come back home. And now he's going to have a celebration. The son did exactly what he rehearsed. But the father just let him come back in. There was no scolding. There was no rebuke. There was no nothing like that. Verse 23. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is why he did it. He knew that his son had gone astray, but now he's come back. He was thrilled that his son came back to what he knew, to that guidance that he had received from his father all those years. And he had the best occasion. But what about the other son? There were two. We've only talked about the younger. This father didn't care that his son spent all that he had, sinned against his custom and disgraced his family, received him with open arms, and brought back into the family. But let's see how his dad treats the other one who remained faithful. The son who didn't run away. Let's look at him, verse 25. The compassionate father toward his faithful son. 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. I mean, that'd be pretty obvious. I mean, what's going on? Something I forgot about? 27. And he said unto him, thy father is come. My brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf. Because, and notice this last phrase here, because he hath received him safe and sound. That's the reason why he had come back. And that's the reason why the celebration was. Not the fact that he royally messed up. It's the fact that he came back. And his father was rejoicing. But notice verse 28. You think he would be happy that his brother had come back. But he was not. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. His father didn't come out there and yell at his older son because he was being a party pooper. No. Here's how he answers his older son. Verse 29. And he answering the younger son said to his father, lo, these many years have I served thee. Neither transgressed I at any time thy covenant. Dad, I've never done anything wrong to you. Now, of course, he would have been a sinner, but he hasn't done something as egregious as his younger sibling had done. I've obeyed you Verse 29 continues, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. I've been the good sibling. Why can't you celebrate the fact that I have been good the whole time? Why do you gotta celebrate my younger one who royally did wrong, and you're celebrating him with this huge accomplishment because of the terrible things he's done? That was his mindset. Verse 30, but as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Interesting. You think he was bitter? He was faithfully serving the whole time. I think sometimes in the church, maybe we see people who maybe they have gone astray and they've done something wrong. And then the church receives them back and we celebrate the fact that they've returned back to the church. But yet here's this faithful person chugging along, not noticed all throughout. And then that little hint of jealousy starts to take hold. When in reality, we should be rejoicing because the person who's gone away has come back. I want you to notice the classic example of his compassion here in verse 31 and 32. And he said unto him, the father, son, thou art ever with me. You've always been there. And all that I have is thine. When I leave this world, all this goes to you. He's not getting any of it. Why? Because he already cashed out. Notice the last verse. It was meet that we should be merry. It was good. It's good that we should do this. We should celebrate and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. He wanted his older son to realize that even though he had been faithful, it's also good to celebrate people who have messed up. Not highlight the fact that they messed up in a sense, but highlight the fact that even though they had made bad choices in their life, guess what? They came back. They came back home. The elder son was not pleased. His faithfulness was being rewarded, but in reality, he's being rewarded. And our Heavenly Father, think about it in the heaven sense. Our Heavenly Father loves when we're faithful to Him. But are there times where we royally mess up and screw up sometimes? Absolutely. But does God just take this big whip from heaven and smack us down when we're at our lowest point? No. He just wants us to come back. Thus, He wants us to ask for forgiveness, to apologize. Just like when your children messed up when they were growing up, what did they do? They reconciled. They apologized. And what did you do? You love them again. And if you think about it, when you discipline them, you do it because you love them. So what's the application? How can we apply this to you and me here today? Not only just to fathers, but to everybody here. Well, toward the person who is not saved, God wants you to come to Him. He doesn't care what you've done wrong. He doesn't care the choices that you made in life. He just wants you to come to Him. He doesn't care that you've done anything wrong. He wants to welcome you. Luke 15 verse 10 says this, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then in verse 7 of that same chapter we were in, Luke 15 verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Every time a person gets saved, there is a celebration in heaven. That could be you if you're not saved today. God doesn't care what you've done wrong. He just wants you to come back to Him. He wants you to repent, realize that you've sinned against God, and He wants you to turn to Him and to believe His Son by faith to save your soul. And once you do that, you have your eternal home in heaven. Because He gave you a free gift. And that free gift is eternal life. And all He wants us is to believe. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not through XYZ, not through works, not through anything else. You're saved by your faith in his promise that he will give you eternal life. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's that free will. We joked about it earlier, but free will. That whosoever believes, you believe that he will save you. He will. Believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you're not saved, God wants you to come back to him. You're lost, but then you can be found. How about toward the person who's maybe fallen away from the Lord and not living for God as they should be? Well, God will accept you back, just like he accepted back this younger son. Because this is a picture of the Heavenly Father we see here in Luke chapter 15. He will not give you anything less than you've already had. He doesn't take away your salvation or make you re-earn it again. He considers you worthy to be in a right relationship with him. How about the ones who are faithful and they feel like no one recognizes them? They feel neglected. The church doesn't praise the fact that they're in church every single time and they're reading their Bible and they're studying, they're witnessing every day. How about toward that person who may not feel noticed? Well, God knows what you're doing. You're not going to go unnoticed. God will give you the reward you deserve when he feels you need it. So what do? You continue to serve faithfully and reach out to those who need him and to those who come back and or those who need to come back to God. Here's what the Bible again says about children and to us as fathers, and then we'll conclude. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. But he wants us to lead, and he wants us to lead in love. And we see that in this parable here this morning. We have a Heavenly Father who cares for all of his children. The parable we looked at shows the character and person that God the Father is. He is a father to all, and he can be your father today. We celebrate Father's Day. If you don't know your father or your father has passed on, God can be your father. Psalm 68, verse 5, a father of the fatherless and the judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he invites you to come to him, and he will receive you with open arms. If you have backslidden or not served the Lord as you should, come back to him today. Confess your sin that caused you to fall away and restore your relationship. The world's greatest father loves and cares for his children. And we can be an example of that, fathers. I mean, we can't be God himself, but we still have a good example of how to father through the Bible. He doesn't provoke or discourages his children. God won't do that. We shouldn't do that today. Our Heavenly Father is a loving Father, and he's a good example for us as fathers here on earth. Whether you're an empty nester and your children have grown on and moved on, or whether you're still raising children, you can still lead by example and still invest in them. Father, we thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. We're thankful for the opportunity that we can call you our Heavenly Father. Father, I do pray that you would help us here this morning. Help us to consider what we've heard this morning. And I pray that you just apply that to what we need to hear. And I pray that if there's someone who doesn't know you as Savior, they would come and talk to one of us before they leave this morning. And for those who do know you, that we would be encouraged, that we would be strengthened. We're not going to have an invitation per se this morning like we did for Mother's Day. But if God has spoken to your heart, take that time this afternoon to talk to him, to commune with him. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.